Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I think every time we do an episode of the PowerCast, we run into weird issues, like when we did our show with the previous week's guest, where we had Barry Greenwood and our guest co-host, Kurt Collins. We had some difficulty getting connected through a Skype connection because even though he had one account, they were connecting him through a different account. Well, last week we explained that. We also mentioned that a few weeks back when we had Jacques Vallée on the show, Jacques, one of the grandfathers of the internet, shall we put it that way, could not make it work on his Skype connection. We ended up using his landline phone, of which he has two lines. So all sorts of weird stuff. Today, my only problem is dealing with one of our payment providers, PayPal. But everybody on the planet, I think, has problems with PayPal, and we can do a different show about that. And by the way, our guest co-host this week is Tim Swartz. Irina Scott, I know you don't want to hear us griping. Welcome back to the PowerCast. It's been, what, a couple of years since we've had you on the show. And you've got a new book here about Pascagoula, Beyond Pascagoula, The Rest of the Amazing Story. Now, before we get on with the details, how's Calvin Parker been doing?
Oh, I keep hearing that he's better, and so I hope he is, because he's going through a lot and some pretty miserable things, so I hope he's getting better and will be back to normal someday.
He's a really nice guy. We've had him on the show a couple of times. I've exchanged some email with him. So I do hope that he's fine and wish my best to him and to his family. Okay, the book you wrote for Philip Antle's Flying Disc Press.
Uh-huh.
What brought you to write this book?
Well, there were two things. One is Philip Mantle, and he was doing more research on the Pascagoula sighting of Calvin Parker and Charles Hixon, and he wanted to interview other witnesses. And he has an English accent due to the fact that he lives in the UK and a man, and he kind of wanted to have somebody interview him that was like a female and in the United States with a U.S. accent. So he asked me to do it. And I was happy to, because I was very interested. That's one reason I did a lot of interviews for him of the other witnesses. But another reason goes way, way back, and that is that once, many years ago, in 1973, the same time as the Pascagoula abduction, which I didn't know anything about at the time, my mother had called me. She was in Columbus, Ohio, and I was in Columbia, Missouri, which are 600 miles apart approximately. And she said, "Did you hear a noise?" And she'd always said that if she were having dementia or anything, that I should tell her, or somebody should tell her. And so I told her, you know, I wouldn't be hearing a noise that you heard 600 miles away. But she still kept asking me. I didn't hear it, of course, but several days later, she called and said there was just a massive, massive UFO flap going on there. And she's a debunker type, kept a skeptic, and so this was odd coming from her. And she said people were hiding in their houses at night, and a UFO chased one of her friends and all kinds of things. And so I didn't pay too much attention to it. But later, I moved back to Ohio. I was working at Ohio State University, and at that time, they had a room in the library that had old newspapers, and I thought just on a whim I'd go in and see if I could find anything about the noise, but I didn't expect to. And I walked into the room, and it was loaded with all kinds of papers, and I thought, I'll never find that. But I kind of remembered when it was as approximate guess, and I pulled a couple of papers out and found it. And so I was quite amazed that I found it. And it was a very interesting sound because it had been heard just a wide area with a lot of people. And so I started doing an investigation with that. And so those are two things, because the sound happened at about the same time as the Pascagoula abduction. I had worked on that. It was actually about the first UFO thing I ever worked on. And so the two things kind of came together.
When you say noise, what do you mean by noise?
I'm not too sure what I mean. It was a very loud sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was heard all the way from Iowa to the Atlantic coast, and maybe about 500 to 700 miles wide. And it was might have been an extent about the largest sound ever recorded in human history. And it was never really explained what caused it. People didn't see airplanes or meteors or anything like that when it occurred.
Now we have quite a bit of, now that the internet is up and running, I mean, we get reports all the time now of, usually it's more generalized locations of what seems to be like sonic booms or loud explosions that generally can't be explained. But the noise that you're describing is, happened over such a vast area. So it really couldn't have been explained to say like a sonic boom.
No, when I started out, I tried to figure out what it was, and I couldn't find anything. And I started to write it up in a scientific journal. And a seismologist, the seismologist of the state of Ohio, was interested and helped me find look for a seismograph recordings and things like that. And I did publish it in a peer-reviewed scientific journal saying that there wasn't any explanation. And they always say scientists are debunkers. But the scientists I contacted with that didn't debunk it. They were interested. And later, I published something about it in the MUFON journal. And I got debunked there by somebody who said, well, it was this particular airplane flight. And I kind of weakly debunked him back because the sound wasn't where the airplane was, but I didn't have too much information about where it should have been or anything. But since that happened, NASA has published a lot more information about sonic booms and about the sonic booms of different airplanes and how wide and they are and how loud they should be and that sort of thing. So I could debunk it a lot better in my book.
Well, it's interesting here to consider the fact that MUFON would attempt to debunk anyone. And I've had my arguments with MUFON, so let's leave it there. But the more interesting thing here is a lot of people think when you run into an abduction case, it's something that's specific to the individuals. When you start to find sightings or other reports of phenomenon that occur around it in the vicinity, that really gets to be more interesting, because that may be in many respects as important or more important than the original stories, because these are the people who back you up, that sort of thing. So this is going to be a real interesting episode. Dr. Irina Scott has been on the PowerCast before, so most of your listeners know her. The book she wrote for Philip Mantle's Flying Disc Press is Beyond Pascagoula, The Rest of the Amazing Story. And we're going to be talking about that story, and I think she's going to hang out also for the After the PowerCast podcast. This is going to be fascinating. And it's also going to give us more insights into certainly one of the more unusual cases in UFO history. And as our listeners know, our guest co-host this week is Tim Swartz. So we've got lots of action to come with Gene and with Irina and with Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
And the first thing, of course, is that Tim Swartz has numerous ways of doing our closing stinger. Irina, so you had this interaction with MUFON, you debunk them. Let's go on with the things going on around the abduction episode.
MUFON didn't debunk me. a particular person wrote a debunking article about my article. MUFON published it. Somebody wrote a debunking comment, and then I wrote a debunking comment back to him.
Okay, the person who wrote back, was he a member of MUFON's staff or just an independent member?
I don't know. I didn't check that much. He had heard a loud noise around that time and thought it was an airplane. And I didn't have enough information to really say much back then that I do now, and I put it in my book. I don't know that much about him. But it wasn't MUFON in general. It was just somebody wrote in.
Okay, so let's continue with the things that went on in 1973.
Okay. One thing that was interesting is that it was a pretty credible report to start with, because it happened to two people at once. And it was in kind of like a public place. And they thought people should have seen it, but back then there was a lot of harassment and people didn't go around saying, "I see UFOs," because people would say they were nuts. But at that time, the police had collected around 50 reports of people that were seeing a UFO on that same night. And then there were more than that they didn't report. And so it was something that, like, it had a lot of witnesses, but nobody formally reported it because just of the harassment and things. And so we're finding people now that remember it and collecting reports now.
Irina, why don't you give our listeners just kind of like a thumbnail description of the Pascagoula incident? I mean, for a lot of us, it's a pretty famous case, but there could be some people out there who are new to all this and are not familiar with it.
Okay. It happened to Charles Hixon and Calvin Parker. Charles Hixon, I think, was around 45 years old. Calvin Parker, I think, was around 19. They were employees of a shipyard by the Pascagoula River. It was a big, important shipyard. It was Calvin Parker's first day of work, and the older man was a friend of his father, and Calvin was a friend of the older man's son, so it was sort of family friendship. They wanted to go fishing just to relax after a day of work. And so they went to several places and didn't find good fish. And then they went to this one place that Charles thought was a real good place to fish. Calvin was a little hesitant because they were in his car. It was a new car. And I think it was posted no trespassing or something. But Charles said, "Let's go, no problem." And so they went. And they got their fishing gear out, and they were sitting there fishing. And they had no previous interest in UFOs or anything like that. They were just fishing. And so as they were fishing, they saw a blue light. And they thought the police were after them. And Calvin said, well, told Charles that he could go to jail because it was his idea. But it was much, much, much worse than having the police come after you, because it turned out that then they saw this object coming. It was kind of blue, and it stopped. It sort of hovered above the ground, and these things came out. They were different from what normally is reported as aliens, but they came out. And the two men looked inside, and it was just like really white and really bright light. They abducted them. Two people got Charles. One person got Calvin. I mean, I don't know if they were people or things or whatever they were. But they grabbed them and took them inside and apparently examined them. I mean, that's what they reported. And then brought them back to where they were. Well, they were both in very severe shock. it appeared they had been anesthetized some way because they were big, you know, healthy men, and they didn't fight back. They just went weak and numb, and they thought maybe they'd been injected. And when they were there, they couldn't move or anything. They just had to have these things inspect them and things, and couldn't do anything about it. And then they were released, and they were both just absolutely terrified. And when Calvin was released, I guess he was just standing there with his arms up above his head and couldn't move. And then Charles tried to bring him to, and he fell down. I think they both fell down. And then you can imagine what that would be like. I mean, they were just absolutely terrified to the depths of their soul. And I guess then the thing disappeared. And the things were like robots or something. Well, Charles was older, and he'd been in the Army. And he'd fought in the war. And he had had experience with really terrifying situations. Calvin was younger, and he hadn't had experience with anything like that. And at first they said, we're not going to report it because people think we're crazy. And you can imagine with shipyard employees what that would be like to say, well, I saw a UFO and abducted me. Well, Charles kept thinking about it, and he decided the thing to do would be to report it. And Calvin was not in favor of that at all. But Charles, first of all, he went to the newspaper, and it was later at night, and the newspaper was closed, and he said, nobody's here. There's nothing you can do here. And so then he tried to report it to the Air Force Base, and this was Kessler Air Force Base, which was somewhat close to him. And they said that the Air Force no longer collects UFO reports. The Project Blue Book has been out of business for a couple of years, and told him to report to the sheriff or the local authorities. So they called the police. Charles was more or less the instigator. Calvin didn't want to even think about it. He definitely didn't want to report. And so Charles called him and said, you're not going to believe this. Can you imagine calling the police and saying, we were abducted by a UFO, especially back in 1973?
We're talking to Dr. Irina Scott. The book is Beyond Pascagoula, The Rest of the Amazing Story, where she now is telling you about the original story and then the additional information that she uncovered. Tim Swartz is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We need to stay unified.
President Joe Biden addressing Democrats at the party's National Committee fall meeting on Saturday afternoon, highlighting the benefits of passing both the infrastructure package and the $3.5 trillion human infrastructure package at the same time.
The question American people are going to be asking is whether we're helping them and their families in a real way. Can we deliver for them? As Democrats, we have to show that we do understand that we are delivering for them and that we are keeping our promises.
Republic Airlines Flight 4817 makes an emergency landing at New York's LaGuardia earlier this evening due to a security incident. A law enforcement official says a passenger got unruly and suggested he had an explosive device. 80 passengers and crew making it off the plane safely. When it landed, he got a ride in a police car. This is USA Radio News. A big development in the story of the missing Texas toddler. A few days ago, his mother was pleading with people to help find him after he wandered away.
She had saw his son chase their dog down the road, so when she got that information...
Now the sheriff of Grimes County has confirmed that Christopher Ramirez has been found alive. He was found shortly before noon Saturday, about 5 miles from his home. And while they took him to a hospital to be evaluated, the sheriff says he appears to be perfectly fine. The United States meeting with the Taliban this weekend. Multiple outlets are reporting the delegation from the United States has met face-to-face and will some more before the weekend ends with those Taliban representatives in Qatar. If accurate, this would mean the first face-to-face meetings between the two sides since American forces withdrew from Afghanistan in August. In our New England Bureau for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale!
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Charles reports this to the police, and we should point out that Calvin never said a lot about it until recent years when he wrote a pair of books. Let's go on, Irina.
Yes, so Calvin wasn't in favor of saying anything, and he told Charles to just tell him he fainted because he didn't want to talk about it. Anyway, then they reported it to the police, and the police had him come in, and they separated them and interviewed them separately, and then put them together in a room and interviewed them, and then the interviewer left. And what they didn't know was that they had a tape recorder in the room with them. And the police did that in order to find out if they were hoaxing. And the police were expecting them to laugh and say, well, we really put one over on them and everything. Instead, the two men were absolutely terrified. The reason why they had even listened to Charles when he reported was because Calvin was crying and asking him not to say anything. And so then they got the tape and they believed him because they found out that the two men were absolutely terrified. And so that was a basic event. And it made the news all over the world, maybe because they had reported immediately and because of the mystery tape. So they were, the next day at work, they just came into work the next day expecting to be a normal work day, and their place of employment was absolutely inundated by reporters and investigators and everything you can think of, so they never lived a normal life from then on.
Yeah, Calvin, this was a gentleman that wanted absolutely nothing to do with the events that happened to him. I mean, he basically just dropped out and up until really a few years ago, never talked about his experience again.
Yes, he'd go to work and get a job that people would follow him around. I mean, lots of people want fame. He didn't want fame. He just wanted to get married and have a happy, normal life, which he wasn't living. But he didn't want to talk about it at all. And I interviewed his wife a couple of weeks ago. And his wife said he never even talked about it to her until he started writing the book. And she had prevailed upon him to start writing the book, she and Philip Mantle. And finally he decided to, and that's the first he had talked about it.
Yeah, see, to me, that's what really, helps convince me that these two gentlemen had a real experience, because Calvin wanted nothing to do with what happened to him. Like a lot of debunkers have said that they were, trying to hoax to make money or something, then Calvin would have been all over the place in the National Enquirer and stuff. But no, I mean, he just, that was it. He just disappeared. And now Charles, on the other hand, I mean, he did make some television appearances and wrote at least one book about his encounter.
Uh-huh. So they were different in that way. And everybody that talks to Calvin is very impressed with him, that he's a very sincere, honest person, and especially his wife, Philip.
So for a number of years, I think the general impression was that this happened pretty much in isolation, that it only happened to these two gentlemen, and that there were no other witnesses. But in your book, you've uncovered a number of really fascinating experiences by other people at around the same time.
Yes. Philip Mantle has been looking very diligently and found quite a number of other witnesses. And one of the criticisms was that there weren't any witnesses, and it took place sort of in a public place near a bridge, Route 90, which was a freeway, and that sort of thing. I mean, it wasn't really public, but, it's where people might have seen something. Well, one of the first people I interviewed was Maria Blair, and she and her husband were in a car on the opposite side of the river from them, from the abduction, and about the same time. And they had, the reason they were found is because they had made some comment, I think they're not them, but their daughter had made some comment on YouTube, a show about the abduction, and their daughter made some kind of comment about her parents had seen it or something like that. So Philip contacted them, and then I interviewed both of them. And Maria said that they were on the other side. Her husband was going out to a boat, and he and his supervisor and maybe other people were going out on the boat, but his supervisor had been delayed, and so they were sitting there in their car waiting for this person to show up, and the boat was at the end of the pier. So she started seeing this weird thing flying around, and she made comments to her husband that she at first thought it was an airplane. She made comments to her husband that there's something wrong with the airplane, there's something wrong with the pilot, it keeps flying back and forth like it's lost, and it doesn't seem to know where it's going. And so she thought this was pretty weird, and then her husband decided to take his clothes to the boat, and I think it was about 9 o'clock. He decided to take his clothes to the boat. And so he went ahead of her, and she then walked down the pier. And she said that there was this man that seemed to come out of the water, and she was just really emotional about it. And then they got to the boat, and then they came back about 12. And that seemed very strange to me, but she didn't seem to pay too much attention to that. But she was really emotional about this man that came out of the water, and she said she couldn't figure out why he came out and what he was doing and why he didn't come up for air. And so I asked her, could this have been a fish or a porpoise or something, and she said no. And the first person I talked to was her husband, and he had said something about a big splash in a blimp, but then he handed the phone over to her. And apparently he had been a debunker all along. He told her, well, nothing happened. You're imagining things. This is crazy and everything like that. Well, last year he became very sick, and unfortunately he died later. But right before he went on a respirator, he told her that they had been abducted, but that he had never wanted to talk about it. But since this might be his last chance to say something, that they had been abducted, and he told about there was a big splash of something going in the water, and that these beings had abducted them. And he remembered being on board the object that abducted him, and there was one of the beings that he said was like a doctor that really physically went over him. And then they saw him leave, and like they were swimming back across the water to their object.
We're talking here about what appears to be a deathbed revelation.
Yeah, it was a deathbed revelation, and later he was on a ventilator and he couldn't talk. And so this had happened to them when they were just young married people. After that, they'd raised a family and everything, and they discussed it with their kids, but they hadn't said much about it. And her husband always said, nothing happened, you're crazy and all that. And so this was like a deathbed confession, because he was afraid, you know, not make it, and he didn't, unfortunately.
Was this COVID, by the way?
I didn't ask her. I sort of thought it was, but I didn't ask her.
Dr. Irina Scott joining us. The book is Beyond Pascagoula. The rest of the amazing story when, well, it looks like Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson weren't the only ones abducted. More to come with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, okay, the thing I always ask, other than being a deathbed revelation, is when people, Irina, recall things that happened to them nearly five decades earlier, how could we be sure that the details are reasonably accurate?
I mean, I don't know for sure in general and everything. But in that case, the abduction of the two men was something that people paid a lot of attention to. Normally, you know, you wouldn't remember something from 1973, some particular way. But people did because they heard about the abduction the next day. And that joke that made it settle in their memory for what they saw and what they knew about. She remembered something, and she was very emotional about it. And before he said anything, I kept coming back to her and asking about that man, and I could tell she was just really emotional, but she didn't know why. And then later, when her husband told her that, she never remembered being in the object or anything else. She just I think she remembered the beings, and she definitely remembered the man that came out of the water. But I think she still doesn't remember being inside the object.
So now this was an experience that the couple had together. The wife had only fleeting memories of what happened, but it seems like that the husband had a lot better recall, but kept it to himself all of these years?
Well, so did Calvin Parker.
Yeah.
There's two people I interviewed. I mean, I interviewed the wives of two people that didn't talk about it for all those years. And my possible theory that maybe it was very traumatic and maybe they had post-traumatic stress in them and didn't want to talk about it or something. Because that I interviewed two people, the wives of two people who refused to talk about it for many, many, many years.
And their experience happened on the very same night as Calvin and Charles' experience.
And they thought it might have even been the same object. So it would be a very unusual thing.
That's a busy night.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way to check that, but she definitely remembered something, and she'd talked about it to her kids, and it was her kids that said something that Philip Mantle then investigated. It wasn't them.
You made a reference also in your book about this particular case. You said that the whatever the beings were that abducted this couple came out of the water. And then there was a story that you had in there about people in boats chasing what appeared to be a USO in that that particular river.
Well, that happened. The abduction was October the 11th, and this was November the 6th, that there was an underwater event. An underwater object was reported, and there were 16 witnesses for this. The Pascagoula area made the national news for two reasons. One was that first abduction, and second was this underwater event. And this was what was called an unidentified submarine object. And this was, like I said, 16 witnesses on this in several boats. And this was taken very seriously. People derided the two people that said they were abducted. But this other USO was taken very seriously. It was these fishermen saw this object under the water, and they watched it. It was lit up for a while, and first of all, they were trying to figure out what it was, and there's only one of the 16 people left, and I interviewed him. He was one of the fisher people, and he said, first of all, his father was trying to figure out what the thing was, and hit it, and it sounded like metal, and then his father's twin was on another boat fishing, and they saw it too. And some other people saw it, another group of fisher people. And so they went back, he and his father went back to the Coast Guard and got them, you know, these are authorities, they got Coast Guard officers to come out and look. And the Coast Guard people came out. And the thing would, it would travel. If they harassed it and tried to hit it and things, it would turn its lights off and move and appear someplace else, and then it turned its lights back on. And like I said, they thought it was metal. And the Coast Guard people saw it too, and the Coast Guard, one of them thought it was very, very strange because he said when he held an oar over that the light just went right through the oar like it was an X-ray or something. And they, all of them thought that the object knew its way around underwater. There had been a trench, and that it seemed to follow the trench. So they, the Coast Guard and the Navy had a good investigation of that and put some high-level people to interview them and everything. So it was taken seriously.
Yeah, I remember actually when that event took place and the coverage, the news coverage, but I don't think at the time that there had been a connection made between the USO report and the earlier abductions.
Well, yeah, I didn't understand that either because and I think it had to do with the agencies that were reporting, but the Navy took it seriously for several reasons. One is because there was a nuclear facility there. They were near the Huntington Ingalls shipbuilding plant, which was one of the biggest in the United States for the Navy, and it was near Kessler Air Force Base. And also there were a whole lot of things going on in the United States, which resulted in a nuclear alert not very long afterwards. And so that was several reasons why they took it seriously. I think the government didn't want anybody to know there was a nuclear facility close by. But the abduction had been actually closer to all those facilities than the underwater object. And nobody took that seriously, even though it was just as serious as the other.
Now, you brought up a good point. In October of 1973, not only was the United States experiencing a pretty huge UFO flap, but there were all kinds of different things going on across the planet of historical significance at the same time.
Yes, there were only two or three nuclear alerts like that for the possibility of nuclear war, and one of them was that same month, October, I think it was October the 24th, and it was the Yom Kippur War in the Middle East, and there was a possibility of just going into nuclear war then. Also, there was Watergate and the impeachment of a president and everything, oil crisis and everything you think of going on at the same time.
Basically, here the world was really in a pretty interesting shape during the period of time when all this stuff went down. Also, it's interesting to note that for the years prior to 73, there weren't a lot of UFO sightings, especially after the Air Force gave up Project Blue Book.
Hmm.
Yes. Previously, all the up until about 1969, all the reports went to the same place, which is Project Blue Book, I mean, in general. And so they could tell if there was like a flap or a wave or a sudden increase in UFOs sightings and then a decrease. After that, it was very hard to tell because nobody knew where to report anything. But everybody agreed that 1973 was a definite flap or wave and that it was probably the largest one that ever happened.
We have Dr. Irina Scott. We're looking at the Pascagoula, Mississippi case and all the things that happened around it. With Gene and with Tim, you're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.